Here is the church. Here is the steeple. Open it up. See all the people. You remember that? Here is the church. Here is the steeple. Open it up. See all the people. We've taught our kids wrong. This is not the church. This is the building where we meet in. It should go something like this. Here's the building we meet in. Here's the steeple. Open it up and see the church. Right? Now, I really hope that I don't embarrass my family with this, but I got to admit to you, I listen to audiobooks while I drive in the car. I drive 3 hours in the car every day, so I get these audiobooks so I can listen to them. I've listened to some very, very good books. Some of them, very, very good Christian material, and I listen to them, but sometimes they get dry. Sometimes you drive and you listen to this. So I said, I need to find something a little more upbeat. I'm listening to the book called How to Be a Stand-Up Comic. So here, I'm going to test it out. Here's my first joke. Okay? My first joke after being educated, okay? My first joke, last Saturday, we came up here. And we wanted to make the church look better, to put some paint on the church. I started with Jeffrey. Some of these guys got it, but mostly that joke doesn't work because we don't think about the church being Jeffrey, do we? We have a tendency to think the church is this building. It's the windows, it's the beams, it's the church. Oftentimes, we think it's our own fault. We talked about this in Sunday school a couple weeks ago. It's our own fault. We say, hey, we're going to the church. We're going to pick up, I left my Bible in the church. We call the church the building. And then, we all know, as believers, we all know that it's us, but we kind of use the term interchangeably and gets kind of confusing. So I want to talk about the body of Christ. If you will turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to talk about a little bit about the body of Christ. We're going to start out 1 Corinthians 12, 12. Everyone made it there? Let's go in there. Okay. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all the parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not be for that reason that it would cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body was an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now, if I was a doctor, I could probably help you relate on how the body works together. But I'm not a doctor. And to be honest with you, understanding that I am the big toe of the church has not been very helpful for me. You know what I mean? I mean, it's helpful, but it's not very practical. What does that mean? If I'm the big toe and Dawn is the pinky finger, and you know Alexis, I won't pick on her, but being parts of the body, I get it. But I was thinking the other day, and I hope that you guys will bear with me for just a moment, because I ran across this great analogy. And I think if you'll bear with me for just a moment, I think you'll see how this works, and we'll get down to the meat and potatoes of what it means to be the body of Christ, okay? I am a NASCAR fan. There's been times in my life when I lived and breathed NASCAR and all that stuff. I can take it and leave it. I'm still passionate. I like to watch it. In fact, my DVR is set right now to tape the race that's going on today. I will watch it later this afternoon. Now, bear with me. If you don't like NASCAR, if you, you know, if that means nothing to you, please stick with me, because this is not about NASCAR. It's not. You're going to listen to my first 5 minutes and you're going to say, oh boy, he's lost his mind. He's talking about NASCAR in church. It's not about, this is my setup. We'll get to the point. I think it'll be clear. In NASCAR, they race 500 miles, so they got to come in and get new tires and that sort of thing. And what I want to focus on is the pit stop, okay, the team, how the team works together, okay? So I need to tell you a little bit of background. I want to tell you, I am pretty happy to tell you that my driver that hasn't won a race in many years won the Daytona 500. This year, Dale Earnhardt Jr. won the Daytona 500. I know most of you are probably going, oh, it's a big whoop. But when you win the Daytona 500, they impound your car. They take your car and they put it into the museum. And it's still sitting there right now. It has all the confetti and it has everything just like it came from the winner's circle. They put it right into, they roll it right in the museum and it's on display. Dale Earnhardt Jr. went to the Tonight Show. He went to David Letterman. He went here. He went there. He was the most popular interview for the next few weeks, okay? He went everywhere and interviewed with everybody in those next few days. But the race, he won the race because he had a good pit crew. In fact, if he didn't have a pit crew, he wouldn't have finished the race at all, because, you know, when his tires wore out and the gas ran out of the tank, he would have parked it. And so he had to have a team to get him where he was at. Now, just real quick to tell you, he drives for Rick Hendrick. He owns an organization that has 500 employees. 500 employees to produce the car that he raced, okay? So there's 500 employees that... Now, I did have a picture of a pit stop right here, but it wouldn't... The computer's not cooperating, okay? But there are 6 men that are allowed over the wall, okay? Those 6 men change 4 tires, clean the grill, fill up the car with gas, and send him back out on the track in 12 seconds. I know you guys are not impressed. But if I tell you a little bit about what's going on, they take 5 lug nuts off of each wheel, remove the wheel. They go to the other side. They take 5 lug nuts off, take the wheel off. They put 5 lug nuts back on. They tighten them up. They take a fuel can that has 12 gallons of gas. It weighs about 81 pounds. They stick it in it. They have a special system. So in about 6 seconds, it empties that 12 gallons into that. Wouldn't that be neat for your passenger car to roll in and 6 seconds later you got a full tank? Well, they fill it up. They use 2 of those, okay? is a jackman. This it's not like Formula One where these NASCAR guys, there is a jackman that carries the jack. It's a 20-pound jack. He carries it out. He jacks the car up to start the pit stop. There's a guy that runs out. All his job is to take those five lug nuts off. Okay? As soon as he takes those five lug nuts off, there's another guy that's there with a brand new tire. He pulls away the old one and he slaps the new one on. Now the guy's job is just to put five lug nuts back on. He runs to the other side. He takes five lug nuts off. The other guy comes around, pulls this one off, and puts a new tire on. He zips it on. The jackman, he has to be at least 250 pounds to operate the jack, because the jacks are designed for speed to lift the car in one single pump. So the jackman, 250 pound guy or heavier, runs out. That's pretty amazing itself, 250 pound man running out, jacks the car up. And while this is going on, there's a guy that comes and puts the gas in it, okay? Up on the pit box, behind the pit stop here, there is a there's a pit box. They sit up here. The crew chief, he decides when the car is coming in. There's an engineer that calculates the gas mileage. All that stuff is going on up here in the background. There are six guys over the wall, and then there are the guys that are behind the wall, okay? There's probably about 25 to 30 people at the racetrack out of those 500, okay? They all work together to accomplish a pit stop in 12 seconds. It is, if you've ever seen one, it's almost like a dance, if you will, because they practice. I'm standing here, I'm leaning here, you're doing this, you're doing that, and they choreograph it so that nobody gets in the way and they're able to accomplish all that in 12 seconds. That is how the church should work. We should all work together. We should all work together to accomplish a task much like NASCAR does. I know you guys are really... Stick with me. Please stick with me here. Okay? We need people in the church. We need pastors. We need leadership. We need board members. We need Sunday school teachers. We need a hat guy. Do you know what a hat guy is? There is a guy, exactly right, there is a guy on Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s team that carries hats for everyone on the crew. So when he wins, he takes and shapes the bill so that it doesn't look dorky, okay? And he shapes the hat so it's ready to go. And when they go in the winner's circle, his job is to put a hat on Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s head so that the sponsor that he is racing for is in the picture, okay? Can you imagine having a job where you get, okay, I run out and I put the hat on, okay? Okay. Now our other sponsor, okay, I switch the hats, okay. We need people like that in the church. We need people that makes the church look good, that makes our driver look good, right? You're still looking at me with... There are many jobs within the church. Okay, many, many, many of them are not involved with what we did this morning. For instance, let me tell you, there's a guy that assembles the motor back at the shop. You never see that guy on race day. You never see him. He's the guy who put the motor together and put it together with lots of care. They put it in his car and they brought it to the racetrack and he raced that day. There are jobs in the church, and I shouldn't call it a job, but there are things that God wants you to do within the church that is not up front and where we can see it, but we need people to pray for the service. Not just on Sunday, not just, you know, on special occasions, excuse me, but we need people to pray that things would go right. Do you know that we pray for the electronics to work right? Sometimes we don't pray enough because we have issues like we had today. But we need, hopefully this will make sense to you, we need a hat guy. We need someone that's making the church look good, that makes sure that our cause is shown at the right place at the right time. Now, I want to imagine for a moment, you've seen the pits, hopefully you're getting this pit stop in your mind, right? And you're seeing that this guy is coming out with the jack, and he puts the jack under the car, and there's this other guy that's taking the lug nuts off. They all make sure that they don't get in the way of one. But I want you to imagine for a minute that the jack man runs out, and he says, you know what? Instead of jacking up the car, I want to take the lug nuts off today. I'll just grab that impact thingy there, and I'll take the lug nuts off. So the car comes in, he runs out there, he takes the lug nuts off, and you can't get the wheel off because nobody jacked it up. Now, let's say the gas man goes over and jacks the car up so they can get the wheel off. That's what's going to happen. There's not going to get any gas in the car. And what if the tire man decides to come out there and he says, "I'm gonna change the tires, but I'm gonna carry my own tires. I don't need nobody to carry my tires for me. I'm gonna carry my own." He carries his own tires out there, takes the lug nuts off, he takes this one off, and it's gonna be a whole lot slower, isn't it? Well, guess what? In the church, if we fail to do what God has asked us to do, guess what? The whole church fails. Just like on the NASCAR team, if they come in and the guy forgets to jack up the car, he says, "I don't want to jack up the car," and there's a 30-second pit stop when it should take 12, guess what? He is not going to win the race. He's not going to go on those interviews. He's not going to be on David Letterman. He's not going to be on the front of the newspaper and all that. It's not going to happen if the pit stop goes bad. What if the church decided to take that attitude? What if someone, let's say someone here, felt like God was telling them, when the offering plate comes by today, I need you to put $10 in that plate. But that person says, you know what? I have a $100 bill in my pocket. Let me just take this $100 bill and let me put that in the offering. I'm sure the church can need it, but I know, Lord, I know you say you want me to give 10, but I'm going to give 100. And you take out that cool, crisp $100 bill and you snap it a couple of times and you drop it in the offering plate. What if the person next to you was just about to take out a $5 bill? And now because they've seen you put that 100 in, they go, church doesn't need mine. And they put it back in their pocket. Can you imagine if the widow, you remember the widow? The Pharisees were putting all their money in there and they were making sure that everybody seen it and said, hey, look at me, look how much I'm giving. What if the widow was intimidated? And she said, I'll just keep my 2 pennies and I'll just go home. Wouldn't that be a shame? But Jesus said, greater is what she's given than all the rest, because she gave what she knew that God wanted her to give. God told her, you need to give 2 cents. And she gave 2 cents. I submit to you this morning that we need to give exactly what God wants us to give. Not any more, not any less. We need to understand what God's wanting us to do and do it. I've been caught by this one myself. You're in the church, you hear of a need, there is a Sunday school class. Don't get me wrong, it's not the Sunday school class I'm currently teaching, but you're in the church, you hear of a Sunday school class that needs a teacher, and you know that God is telling you that's not what I want you to do. But you see the need and you say, okay, I am going to go teach that Sunday school class. Imagine someone that God has been tugging on their heart and I don't feel like I'm worthy enough. I don't know if I can teach a Sunday school class. And this struggle's going on and God is laying it on their hearts. You need to teach. I want you to do it. And suddenly there's an opening. The opening is, we need a Sunday school teacher. And now that pull in that person is even intensified. Now they just can't even sleep at night, okay? I need to teach. This is what God's telling me to do. I'm going to go in. I'm going to tell the pastor. And they walk in and they say, Pastor, I need... And they, oh, we got a Sunday school teacher for that class already. I submit to you this morning, we need to do exactly what God wants us to do. Nothing less. Nothing more. I'm telling you, it's not easy. We need to get into our Bibles. We need to pray. We need to find out. We need to search and discover what God's plan is for us so that we don't do too less or too much. I was thinking about this. Now, I need you guys, can you promise me something? Promise that you will not call Pastor Eric the gas man, okay? I started thinking about, okay, and my analogy, we're all a team, we're working together, okay, who's the pastor at this? And immediately I thought the pastor's up on the pit box there and he's calling the shots. And I said, no, that's the church leadership, that's the board members. So where's the pastor? And who's the most important guy over the wall? Well, it's the gas man. Because the mission won't fail, right? And you don't have gas in your car. We all know what not having gas in our car does, right? We'll end up on the side of the road. So I started thinking about that. Pastor Eric is our gas man on our team. Our board members are up on the pit box. They're deciding if we need a new furnace or a new boiler or all that stuff. We have Shreya carrying tires out. We have Larry Mitchell back there spinning lug nuts off. We got Suzette when she's here, jacking the car. No. Then I started thinking, who's our driver? It's Jesus. Jesus is our driver. You see, if we do what we're supposed to do, nothing more, nothing less, if we put those lug nuts on, we do what we're supposed to do, guess what? Jesus gets the glory. He wins the race. He goes on the tour. He's on David Letterman. He's on these shows over here. His car is put in the museum. People walk by and go, who is that? Who's that car belong to? That's Jesus. Jesus is at the forefront. Jesus is our driver. When we do exactly what God wants us to do, He gets the glory. I had some pictures up here of Dale Earnhardt Jr. You know how many of those 500 people that was on the Hendrick team that worked on his car that was absolutely necessity for him to win that race? How many of them made it onto the newspaper front cover? Dale Earnhardt Jr. was on the nobody else. Guess how many of those 500 people that took to get him to win that race, how many of them were on David Letterman? It was Dale Jr. They didn't ask anyone else. They didn't ask his crew chief. Jesus gets the glory when we do exactly what God wants us to do. Nothing more, nothing less. Will you pray with me? Lord, I pray as we close this service, I pray that you would search our hearts. Lord, that we would examine what we've done or have not done. Lord, that we would get to know Jesus in such a way that we'd be able to know exactly what He wants for our lives. And we would be able to do what He wants us to do. So that He would get the glory. Lord, it is our desire that the world sees Jesus. And we need to get Him in front of everyone. And we do that, we accomplish that by doing what God wants us to do. Our piece of the pie. Our job that God has given us. For Lord, if we fail to do that, the whole church has failed. Glory. God doesn't get the glory. Jesus doesn't get the glory. But if we do what we're supposed to do, and Jesus comes out on top, we thank You for Your presence here today. And we pray that You would help us draw closer to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.